115.
What seasons? We're season 6, episode 11?
11, yes. Titled Squeeze Play, which aired December 1990.
Oh, wow. We're almost getting to 91. That's so weird. So MacGyver wraps up in 92.
91, the year I graduate. No, right. 91, the year I graduate. So
91, the year I had rock fights.
Okay. The summary is Mama Colton, so, oh God, MacGyver and the daughter of a baseball legend joined forces to take down a group of criminals that produce counterfeit baseball cards and other baseball-related collector's items.
All right, and Kent McCord is in this episode, who I know best as John Crichton's father from Farscape. And that dude's made me cry so many fucking times when he has
Well, to me, he's a grown-up Boxy from Galactica 80.
Gotcha.
Which was horrible. He was also in the the Dragnet universe of shows.
All right.
Can't remember who did Dragnet, but that old fascist.
Okay. Yeah.
He would have been in. He'll have been in Barnaby. Not Barnaby Jones. There was the medical one he did. There was the hospital show he did. There was the. What was it? Where they're paramedics.
Which guy are you Emergency. Thinking of? There's a bunch of those guys.
So he was in kind of a little bit in all those. And like Car 51 or something.
Car 54, where are you?
I think that was technically in the same universe.
Emergency. I'll look it up right now.
And there was
we have Jack
Hospital.
Webb. The Jack Webb series
Jack,
of shows.
Yeah, the Jack Webb universe.
Gotcha.
Yes.
I'm hesitant to post it, but I might post the scene from season 4 where John Crichton makes it back into our solar system. And I believe he's on the moon, maybe Mars. He can't get all the way out here. And he's talking to his dad, basically telling him he has to close a wormhole and he'll never be able to come home. And he's like, it's Kent McCord talking to a phone in the kitchen, just basically telling him, we'll do anything to get you back. And it'll make you cry if you've seen the show. I don't know if it works if you haven't seen it.
If you want to see horrible shows, watch Galactica 80.
If you want to see a great fucking series, commit to all 4 seasons of Farscape and have your fucking mind blown. The only show ever to reference Buffy in space.
So, this is from the writer of Tough Boys.
Wow.
Yes.
Illustrious.
Yes. So, and I have to say, I think I love this version of the theme song.
Yeah, it's not bad.
This is what I consider the canonical theme song.
It's got a poppy. Beep, beep, beep. I get it. I think I'm a season 1 guy. I think I'm pure 80s synth version.
Yes. So we open on a taxi cab that an old black lady is getting out of as the shitty nomad pulls up behind.
And you can hear her doing lame voiceover, and then it cuts away to her getting her bags handed to her and tipping a guy, because of course she tips. And then it's MacGyver the Bulldog coming out of some shitty car. Has he had this car before?
This is the shitty nomad.
Oh, this is the nomad.
Yes. So twangy music plays as Della Reese's pieces are excited.
Is this the first time he's had the nomad, or did he have it last episode? I forgot.
This is the one he inherited from Harry.
I thought he was driving a truck he inherited from Harry.
Last season, this
season, that's right.
It's all
that's right.
Been
Harry
the shitty
died.
Nomad.
That's right. Oh God, it's just season so bad.
Yes, Della Reese's Pieces is all excited about Mac returning her doggy, who's called Froggy, who appears to be some sort of a bulldog,
an English bulldog, and he's dead now.
And that dog could hardly give a damn about Della Reese.
I know. He's like, she has a treat in her hand, actually, in her leather glove. You can see in a frame I'm going to take a screen grab of right now. It says her name, actually. It's a perfect screen grab.
So Mac asks where the Colton brothers are. The answer is chasing a bail skip.
They got a big bounty right on the family reunion. And it's like, okay.
And the big joke is that Della Reese has very heavy bags.
And MacGyver somehow pee-whipped by her. And then I was thinking, she names her sons. Well, Billy's out here, and this Jesse's doing this. And it's like, which one's which? Like, I was trying to think of, like, who the actor is who plays each one. Which one's Cuba?
Cuba was Billy, I think.
Okay, and so Frank and Jesse are two guys. Frank and Jesse, yes. And then Billy. That's why she names them separately. It's such exposition. It's like the writer's like, well, Frank was on first, then Jesse. But I think it was Jesse, then Frank, but whatever.
Yes. Cue to a very slow-moving little white dude running away with a shoebox.
Uh-huh.
Della slowly makes chase. The box is handed off to a mulleted older kid on a BMX. Mac grabs the little white kid, who is identified as Ricky. He had to steal someone's baseball cards. And, oh my, Della Reese cannot act.
She's really broad. And like I was saying off air, it's really fucked up when you say that Della Reese can't hold a scene with Richard Dean Anderson.
Or the dog.
Yeah, the dog's pretty good too.
Yes. It turns out that the kid got caught with forged baseball cards because apparently that was a thing.
I don't know. I don't think there ever was forged baseball cards.
No, there were forged signatures.
Yeah, the amount of money to forge an actual card. It's like, why don't you just create a brand of cards?
Yes, because this is 90. This is probably just a hair past of peak collector cards.
Yeah, it got me thinking. Like, did you have a card place?
No, a little bit of hockey cards.
All right, so but that was big in Canada, huh?
Oh yeah, hockey cards are the shit. That's kind of the only real things people care about. So this is like 88, 89, 90 is peak card.
That's interesting because 91, 92, I guess the market was still peak card here in the States. And I had a CJ's card shop down in Kirkland, Washington.
Oh, well, I'm just saying this was the absolute peak. So this is the era when they are putting out golf cards.
Oh, so there's everything's come out. Yeah, that's right when they started doing superhero cards, too.
Yeah, this is everything. This is Gulf War cards, Gulf War collector cards.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did the whole series. Yeah, that was in the Garden State. The Spider-Man cards, X-Men cards, all that stuff came out around now. And there was stamp coins and collectibles, or comics is what they used to be, became eventually. So stamp coins and comics, which was in Houghton in Kirkland. It was this little horrible shop that smelled like mildew. And it was run by this old dude who looked like a pedophile, and then like his son or some other old dude looked like a pedophile.
So this is every mall having at least two collector cards stores. Freestanding units in strip malls. They were fucking
everywhere. People don't get it unless you live through it.
Yes.
And then now we cut away to Kent McCord as basically Nolan Ryan. That's at least what his name is.
As some famous baseball player. He's been tied up. He's being beaten on the hood of his bitchin' red Camaro.
Yeah.
By two roughs. He is played by Kent McCord of Galactica 80 and a whole bunch of Dragnet Universe shows.
Who's the big guy beat up? Is it like a football player or some guy I should know?
No, I think it's just a generic stuntman from Vancouver.
Gotcha.
He is under orders to get the Reggie Jackson collection, or his daughter will get worse.
She'll get what's coming to her.
And cut to Mac wearing his pleated khaki hammer pants and doing what Della Reese orders. So we then go to the batter's box, which is a collectible store. The shoebox is on the move now by car as the shitty nomad pulls up out front. So the baseball card's been handed over from the little shitty kid, and the sleazy drug dealer stand-in business owner is taking the cards out.
And Kent's hair has clearly dyed in this, right? Because it's like bright orange, and he's already got that weird chin thing that happens. Where, like, I don't know if they get surgery or what, but like old people on camera, they get that weird thing around their chin. It looks like they have like a little pocket, like pockmarks almost.
Okay. Sleazy owner is talking to a black kid who mentions a bulletin board and then goes on to the phone while ignoring Mac. Mac notices, of course, the redheaded chick wearing a Dodgers hat.
Yeah.
Mac continues to be ignored and then talks about ripping off the kid that just left because he had a Dwight Gooden rookie card.
And the guy behind the counter is the most Canadian guy ever.
Okay.
The actor, he's trying to pretend he's not Canadian.
White chick spills what happened and then points out lots of counterfeit goods and threatens to tell her friend, the district attorney, before both are kicked out. She will get to the bottom of it, and oh God, she is the fucking can-do justice warrior.
Yeah, and now that's her chatting with Della Reese outside of the store because she's happily walking by, or is she waiting for MacGyver?
Mac is going to turf it up to some cop friend, and turns out she was lying about her DA friend. Huh? Then Della Reese comes around the corner.
Yeah.
Red gets her to put the squeeze on MacGyver. Della has an inventory of all the cards that were just stolen. Apparently, it's over $50,000 worth of cards. Today, $5.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. MacGyver pushes out and starts the search. Her dad just happens to be a victim, I think she says.
That's such a weird industry, because baseball cards around since, like, what, the 50s, the 60s? And they didn't really explode in value until this weird point in the 80s when everybody was doing cocaine. or like coming off of cocaine?
No, it's aging baby boomers finally with money trying to reclaim their
childhood. Yeah, it's such a weird, nostalgia that bites you in the ass.
So sleazy clerk makes a call to Home Run Printing, where they are literally cutting 1,000 counterfeit baseball cards. Do they not understand supply and demand? You don't make 1,000 of them, you make 5 of them.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, this is a really bad episode. The bad guy is even not even intimidating. The balding loser who looks like he plays a saxophone.
Yes, evil printer relays the info, and that turns out that was Riley's daughter. So Red is the Kent McCord's daughter. The Colton baseball cards are revealed to be great cards to copy. Okay. So meanwhile, in her apartment over a Chinese restaurant, she lets Mac in on the seamy underbelly of sports memorabilia. Where this is where it actually is. It's forged signatures. It's not forged cards.
Yeah, and only an ink expert could tell you that. I got burned on this ball.
Yes. Turns out there is no protection for the consumers. Ugh. She shows a picture of the guy behind it all, and then enter Kent McCord, a.k.a. Dad. Mac recognizes him. Baseball Dad just wants all of this to end.
And then he's like, she's brought a lot of losers around here, MacGyver. You seem like a good guy.
Yes. So now, all of a sudden, Mac is a baseball fan that ushered at the Mets game back when he was crocodile rocking before going to the NAM.
Yeah, he tells him about a movie he used to do. He's like, oh, no, I wasn't stealing bases. I was snorting cocaine, MacGyver. I'm a cocaine addict.
Yes. He warns his daughter off and then leaves. Turns out that Dad went on spending and then went on gambling. Gambling could get him banned from baseball. Pete Rose, the fact that Pete Rose was declared out of baseball in 1989.
Weird.
So this is more about Pete Rose than it is sports memorabilia.
So yeah, they're just capitalizing off something in the news media, and the writer's probably a sports fan, like all these dumb writers are.
Yes. It turns out that Red only has one item she's willing to use as bait. It's a forgery, and then, oh my god, the bulletin board they were talking about was a computer bulletin board. Rock on, writer. I just wonder if it was a FidoNet-based board. Were these people I was potentially interacting with from Vancouver? Bulletin boards was someone would have a computer with hopefully more than one phone line where you could dial into from your home modem computer and then go on it like it's a little, think of it more like a forum, a web forum.
Sure.
And then some of the really fancy boards, they would all interact with each other at night. So at like 2 a.m, your bulletin board would call someone else's bulletin board, and then they would exchange all the emails and messages you wanted to send back and forth. So that was called FidoNet. So it was a pre-internet email system.
Interesting.
And message board system. So it was it wasn't pre-internet. It was pre-World Wide Web and people on the internet.
Got it.
That was pretty fucking awesome. You can tell how old I was. So, where am I?
We're now back after the BBS. So they're right there talking about the trading post. And Henchman is being yelled at or talked to sternly by his balding boss, telling him,
Boss
if he doesn't comply, we got to kill him.
Boss man is putting pressure on his muscle. He's going to get a proper return on his 50 grand worth of gambling debts.
Debts to get these cards. Blah, 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 blah. Yes.
Either he gets the Jackson collection or he dies. So 50 grand is not a lot of debt to be in 1989. That's
read
not
a book,
an
some kind of book.
Debt.
The next scene, read some kind of a book. Like he repeats her exactly.
Yes. Della Reese is going to make the thieving kid read a book for every card that
some
was stolen.
Some kind of a book.
Fuck this show. Yeah. Fuck this show. Uh-huh. For some reason, the Colton house has a large number of bar tables stacked on each other in the corner, which is fucking weird.
Yeah.
And then Little Thief runs into MacGyver and Red. And then it's revealed that this used to be a restaurant. That's her fallback. So her black door fallback is she's going to run a restaurant while there's out of a house.
How did they air this? Because they haven't aired the Black Door pilot, and they're clearly not going to air it because it's not going to be a series, so it never airs, right?
They're trying. They're really trying.
I know, but the Black Door pilot is being shopped
around, though. They're obviously shopping it around.
But it precedes this episode, so that's the whole confusing part.
But
it
was filmed before.
But they're referencing things that we haven't seen before. We've never seen all three of the brothers together. We've never seen them all together with the family.
We've seen two of the brothers
together, two, and they were recast when we saw them.
No, they haven't. I don't think they recast anyone. They just didn't. The first one was just mentioned later.
Okay.
And then we had Billy and I can't remember whatever that second black guy was.
I made me think of Cuba being recast as one of the brothers.
Yes. Then it turns out they need help from Alexandre Dumas. And that's the name of her computer, of course. She named it after the famous black author of The Three Musketeers. So what the fuck is this? Black History Month?
I love how she's like fake typing
this,
and the background's
it was
coming
Black
up.
History Month.
Okay, great. Yeah, we were supposed to do this early. I'm sorry. I love how the background changes on her computer, but doesn't match her typing.
And then Well, Della does a whole lot of typing while the computer screen is booting over her left shoulder while she's looking to the right.
Yeah,
she's just typing.
She's like, that's how I train myself to type. I look away from the computer screen, MacGyver.
While it's booting.
And then MacGyver dresses up as his famous character.
Well, she wants to know who the seller is, and MacGyver gets a look on his face. So cut to MacGyver's nerd face character, Dexter.
But he's not doing him the same as he's done in the past two times. He's even more of a douche. He feels douchier.
And I think he's exactly the same.
Not in this in this scene, yes, but in the later scene with the card shop guy, he's not the same. He feels slightly different. It feels like MacGyver doesn't remember what he does.
So Mac is trading for 1950s rookies, and he turns over the ball. Broker guy then touches the baseball with his greasy hands.
Yeah.
While MacGyver inspects the cards with a magnifying glass, he says it's a deal. We cut to the shitty nomad, and Mac has a tracker in his hand, so the chase is on. Meanwhile, at Baseball Dad's house, it turns out he's the chairman of acquisitions for the American Museum of Baseball, and has secured the Reggie Jackson donation. His apartment just happens to have a view of the marina that MacGyver is supposed to be living in.
Yeah, and then also he's watching some TV footage of him standing behind Jesse Jackson giving a speech.
Jackson, not Jesse Jackson.
Okay, yeah, whatever. I'm not a baseball fan.
Yeah. Jesse Jackson is a failed politician.
Okay,
I got it.
And his son's a criminal, I know. But the funniest part is it's interlaced frames. So you can see that they're trying to like minimize as much as they can. But you can see the scan lines. And then when they cut to the footage in the office of the bad guy, it's the same scan lines.
Yes. The squeeze is put on baseball. Oh, and Reggie gives this speech about how baseball is special. Baseball's really, really special. Blah, blah, blah. It affects the youth.
And what's great is the bad guy and Kent McCord are both watching the same footage. It's like, why can't they just get along? They're watching the same thing. They can be bros. Yes.
So the squeeze is put on Baseball Dad. Give up the collection or die.
Yeah.
The baseball is tracked to a house with a gate. Mac pulls out a hilarious telephone that is really a cheap home cordless phone and is using it as if it's a cell phone. It is not.
It's not a cell phone. He's had a cell phone in the 80s, and now in the 90s he has a cordless phone. Like, their budgets suck.
Yes. Mac goes to investigate. He hops the fence before being chased by a dog, which he manages to lock in a shed. Very bad, bad job, shitty dog.
Yeah.
Mac spots the henchman talking to the boss by a gas fireplace. So Mac goes down below and listens to the ash hole to hear into where the chimney is. That, again, not something that would really work, but okay. Then the call comes in. The boss man is Bill Marsh. He's the registered owner. The call comes in. Mac records something. I don't fucking know. I'm lost.
Mac's recording out the window as they get the call. I'm still stuck on the idea of the dog because later in this episode, they essentially bust these guys and they never come back to their house, I presume. So does that dog die alone in that shed?
Oh, no, you have to keep watching because Red sneaks in.
I thought that was a different Rottweiler. I thought they had two on the ground.
No, and Red sneaks in. Oh, because a phone call came in.
Yeah.
So she asked, that's what I was talking about. Messing up there. She thinks it's MacGyver in the shed, so she opens the shed.
Oh, that's right. That's the dog.
And then
out.
Is very badly menaced by a dog who just wants to get a treat off the bottom of a rake that she's holding in front of her.
It doesn't even look like a mean dog. He's got like a, it's like a female, and she's got a small face.
Yes. The dog just really wants what's tied under the rake she's using to try to pretend to ward it off. Henchman sees Red, and she gets taken hostage. And then here's where I say, hey, remember when Pete used to be on this show? Yes. So no joy in the tracker. The ball is still in the office. Mac really looks like he has to take a hard shit. Mac calls Baseball Dad and says that Red got taken hostage. Dad doesn't want the cop to be involved. He just Just as he goes to meet Mac, he gets a ransom call from the boss man.
Yep, so he heads over to the field. He takes a long look at it. It's all rained out because it's Vancouver. It's not a real stadium.
Well, fuck you. Della says that the baseball dad will do whatever they say because his daughter involved. Somehow Reggie Jackson is connected to the Colton family because black people.
Yeah.
The bitch and Camaro pulls up to Nat Bailey Stadium, home of the Vancouver Canadians, then a farm team for the Chicago Cubs.
Okay.
One of the farm teams. Dad makes a call. Dad takes all the Reggie Jackson items, which are hilariously in a travel trunk.
Yeah, it's not even a real travel trunk. It's like the kind you put in your kid's room. But what they've done is they've painted the top of it, or they covered in tape or something to make it shiny. So if you look at the rest of it's matte and flat, but the top part they put in this weird shiny panel. I don't know why they would even do that, because it just looks more on the camera. You can see a reflection.
And it's being stored behind a padlocked plywood door.
This says keep out on it. But when you see him put the trunk back in, it's such light, like almost balsa wood material. Like he barely, it's like almost shifting in his hands. He has to like push it down on it to make it go straight. And then it has like a foam case in it that he takes all the stuff out of, except he doesn't take the frame picture. And right as he's walking out, Reggie Jackson, MacGyver, comes storming on the field.
Yes. So it's Mac and his cop friend. Nope, Reggie Jackson. Yeah. He has an hour. He says he has an hour until they kill his daughter.
Mac Reggie says Jackson's isn't a horrible actor. Is he still alive?
Yes. Reggie thinks they should just listen to MacGyver, because after all, he is Mr. October.
He's the worst actor.
September, I forget. Reggie has a moment with MacGyver, and then really wants to buy the Nomad. Yeah, I guess he compliments his car.
Yeah, tell me, MacGyver, you're going to sell that thing. It was nice. It was nice seeing you. And my thoughts and prayers with you and your daughter, Nolan Ryan.
As Mac makes a call from a payphone, Reggie pulls out, leaving the baseball dad a chance to zoom off in his bitchin' red Camaro.
Yeah, he tells MacGyver, make your call, MacGyver. This is the part where MacGyver is calling Pete, right?
I don't
finally bring the Phoenix Foundation to help him out, and then Kent McCord speeds off as he does his coke snort.
Yes. Cut to the collectible store. Mac is back in Nerdface and has a recorder running. Oh, yeah. Luckily, he isn't recognized because he's talked to this person like a day ago.
Yeah,
not in costume.
For like an hour. Don't I know you? Well, my dad's awfully famous, and I'm living off this $30,000 a month salary, so it attracts a lot of attention.
Yes. He wants to buy cards. A lot of cards.
Or allowance, rather.
Yeah, Mac says he might, the recognize him stuff. He says he'll give him $1,000 if he says yes in 60 seconds. Possible with computers.
Yeah, so the guy's like, that's impossible. And he's like, all right, I'll take your challenge. And then MacGyver, Mac starts listing off cards way too fast. He's just being a dick.
Yes, faster than anyone could type. So, no, we'll just have to do this by phone since that's so much faster. He turns up getting hung up on, but since he's a douche, he did the dialing all on speakerphone, so Mac has recorded all the digits he dialed.
And then later in the car, he has to analyze them instead of just putting them into a phone.
Yeah,
and phone
he just plays it and listens, and he can figure out the numbers. That doesn't... No. You might be able to recognize a call. Like, I knew my home phone numbers by touch tone, so I know if I was trying to dial home, I would hit it and say, oh, that was the wrong number, and I'd hang up because I knew that wasn't mine. Also, I used to know my phone number by rotary.
All right.
But cut to the Camaro.
I've only dialed a rotary phone once, and it was hard.
Yeah. Well, it was slow. Cut to the Camaro pulling into the print factory. Dad only brought the bat and a single signed ball. He gets the rest when Red is out of this place.
I'm going to chop her fingers off. You don't tell me the rest. What's in my car?
Yes, and there is some very bad blocking when it comes to this, where you can tell it's a very fake plastic man hand.
Oh, that thing, yeah. I thought you meant the facility then. It's a very small facility, and when MacGyver sneaks in, it's like, oh, they have to creatively shoot this because he's in plain view of everyone.
Well, and then when Red is actually supposedly being threatened, you can tell that the sleeve of her coat is empty because it's crushed down and flat.
Oh,
yeah, so some real... You could have just put some crumpled up bags in there. It would have looked like there was an arm there. But no. Boss man leaves the deal, but fires
at
scary
trim. Oh my God, it is flat. It's a fake hand. Why not just have a fake chopping machine?
Yes. Well, because it's a real chopping machine, because it's a real print shop. Mac sneaks in. Mac gives him the under-the-eye signal, which I didn't mention earlier. Says something is in his car. He sent out with one lone guard. So yeah, that's how you do it. Mac punches out They punch out the one gunman. Matt goes up and starts up an offset printer, which then and then fights the lead henchman. The baseball dad jumps the boss man, takes a couple of shots from the bat before boss man has to run off. Henchman has the drop on MacGyver until he kicks a door into his face. Mac does an over-the-hood jump roll and then gets punched in the face with a Reggie Jackson homer ball.
Yeah.
He ends up holding the ball. Dad is there holding the bat, so you know what comes next. They destroy some very expensive memorabilia. The inside of the factory sign looks like it's a scoreboard. So Mac tosses a pitch, which Kent McCord, dad, hits into the sign, which blows up natural style.
Doesn't he yell scoreboard or something like that?
I don't know. This causes the boss man to look up as it falls down and crushes his car. What the fuck? Seriously, why would smashing a baseball into a sign, breaking a light, causing some sparks, make a sign fall down?
It's the fakest thing ever. The sparks just come out of it. It's such a stupid rig. And like, it'll look good on camera. And you look at it, you're like, it does not look good on camera. They're wrong. They're very wrong.
Yes. So cut to Della's place. The cards are going to stay at the museum until they want them back, which is not how museums work. Little kid wants an autograph, but he only has saved $30. Turns out he gets it for free. Some things you just can't put a price on.
Like baseball cards after 1998.
Yes. So this is the last of the Black Door pilot activity until they finally air it as the Lost MacGyver episode. I think as the very final episode ever aired.
Doesn't make sense.
So the lesson we learn, well, I guess Della Reese can't act and Black Door. Next week, we get an old high school sweetheart. No, not that one. A different one. And sports.
Yeah, a new one they just made up.
Yes, a new high school sweetheart.
A really bad one.
Yes.
Terrible episode. I don't want to keep watching this. I saw this episode twice now in the last week, week and a half. And the next one I've seen twice in the last week and a half. And I feel really bad about it. Bye, everybody. Yes.
Not good. Bye-bye.